And we're live. We'll do it live. Free Talk Live. Call in number 603-283-6160. You look confused there, Captain.
I'm frozen on the other screen. Like, we'll talk about it.
We'll worry about that later.
Yeah. It's just tech stuff. No worries.
So along with the captain in the studio tonight, I am Richie Rich.
And I am Matt.
Welcome back, Matt. Welcome back.
Thank you, Captain.
He was here last week. When was...
I was here. Yeah, I was here last week.
Oh, wait.
This is my second week back.
Oh, right. Tyler wasn't here. And Tyler's not here for this second
week. Last week you were sit-in Tyler.
Yeah, no,
you were fake Tyler last week.
Right, yeah.
I was fake Matt, Tyler.
Well, whatever. Welcome back either way.
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
Thank you.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
And Tyler's not here
Richie.
Again. Hi.
Yeah. Tyler's not here again. He's got something else. Well, so the thing was, there's a requirement to have either myself or Aria here.
Okay. Oh, I did not know that.
Right. And I understand. And I'll explain to you why during the break.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure I've been here without either of you.
You have. You have, and we appreciate that, but this was a new requirement based on a conversation that Ian and Mark had.
Okay.
Hopefully Ian gets out. I know, poor Bonnie, she was preparing for like a call before 5 o'clock for him to get, so she had to go drive and pick him up or whatever. And I was just like, okay, look, here's how the government works.
They don't.
The judge said, hey, I want your recommendations on my desk by Thursday morning, arguably, or whatever he said, right? And so I'm like, okay, so let's say he gets the recommendations. They haven't agreed on anything because, well, duh, they're the prosecution and the defense. They're not going to agree on whatever.
They're not supposed to.
Right?
You wouldn't expect
And so the judge is going to have to take their recommendations and go, you know, it's the value menu plan. I'll take this one, and I'll take this one, and I'll take this one, and, you know, devise his own sort of Ian gets out of jail plan out of the two recommendations.
Couldn't they have just listened back to the original Bear Healing? Like, in the interim. And, right, as he's wallowing away in there, just like, we've already had this conversation on the record. Read the notes.
Yeah, a couple of times, right? Like the first bail here and then the second one, kind of the same stuff was covered. Maybe some new information was presented the second time. But
that's what I'm saying, dude. Some new information has come to light.
But at any rate, you know, so the judge has to write up the release order and then submit it. And Lord only knows what that means. I have to submit the release order, which means it's going to take some time for that release order that the judge wrote to get to, like, the people who actually do the releasing, you know? And so I'm like, at best, at the most, Ian will get out on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe not even that. It might be, like, Wednesday before he gets out, based on how bureaucracy rolls. And that's only if the judge doesn't have any, like, questions or, like, wasn't able to, you know what I mean? And, like, there's so many things that can go wrong with this thing. Ian could be in for weeks.
Understood.
So
poor Bonnie.
Yeah.
But you're here.
I mean, poor us. So at any rate, a conversation between Mark and Ian was like, you know, Aria or the captain has to be there.
Okay.
And I'll tell you about that later.
So no Tyler tonight.
We hope to have him back. In fact, I told him to count on next week, and we'll figure out the schedule rotation or whatever.
Fair enough.
But if Ian gets out, well, then the whole schedule is going to be revised anyway. So
thrown into chaos.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Mark's trying to do a remote thing, and that might throw the schedule into chaos. So we are really, truly anarchist hosts here when it comes to scheduling. Like, there is no actual... really rely, except for, like, maybe She Talk Live on Wednesdays. That's probably the most reliable schedule of people that you're gonna find, you know.
That's a new thing as well.
It is too.
Yeah, we're like, not just, totally spontaneous order though. There is some order going on. Like, we have loose schedules here.
Well, what I did learn,
but we're always on time.
Well, I was almost late today.
In real life, we're never on time.
So thank you to Richie Rich for prepping in advance.
What I do know about the scheduling is Mark has it written down somewhere. Because all of a sudden, there was like an actual employee-looking schedule with boxes and like names. And
oh, official.
Official, yeah. I was like, whoa.
That still exists.
I didn't know that
that's
was a
thing.
That's
a great way to make sure nobody shows up.
That still exists, but hasn't been updated. And largely because not everybody, A, uses Google, because it's a Google Doc, but also, B, can access the particular chat application that we use to publish that on. And so it doesn't do any good if not everybody can see it.
Understood. Move it on?
Yes.
All right. You came in, Captain, hustling into your chair going like...
I was huffing and puffing.
Yeah, that too. No blowing houses down, though. And you said, we got to talk about Elon.
I
shrugged and went, really?
Yeah, we got to.
Because the Bitcoin thing?
I'm calling him Elon Muskrat.
Okay.
Because I smell a rat.
Please, go on.
Well, he thinks he's the Bitcoin whisperer.
Well.
Right? He thinks that, like, he's done this repeatedly now. He thinks that if he just goes on television or on Twitter or something and says the word, whatever the word is of the day, right? His newest thing is, oh, I'm no longer going to accept Bitcoin to purchase my cars because the environmental cost of Bitcoin is too high.
Right. And so someone on social media posted something like Elon Musk pumped it so he could get into it, right? And then now that he has it, he's like destroying Bitcoin. And I go, well, that's dumb.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's not destroying Bitcoin in any way, shape, or form.
Well, what is he doing then by doing this? It's not. It's it.
Well,
it
he has, didn't it, say that he wasn't going to accept some other cryptocurrency for a Tesla.
No,
sale.
In fact, he did say he was looking into other greener cryptocurrency options. Or I'm paraphrasing.
Whatever that means. So, but still, why pump Bitcoin if you know that the news you're going to give is going to have a negative effect on the price? Because you've accumulated all that Bitcoin. It's not like he's selling it off at the moment, right? Do we know that?
He mentioned something about not selling any of his Bitcoin as well.
So hodling it.
So he's hodling, yeah.
You would still want the price to go up to maximize your value. So, whatever he's doing doesn't jive with whatever narrative is coming out.
All right, this from CNBC. Elon Musk says Tesla will stop accepting Bitcoin for car purchases, citing environmental concerns. Key points. Tesla has suspended vehicle purchases using Bitcoin out of concern over, quote, rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining, unquote.
You mean like the rapidly using of fossil fuels to form the electricity that you plug your Tesla into?
Yes.
Or how about...
One and the same.
Or how about the coal energy it takes to mine all the bits that it takes to make the batteries that your Tesla runs on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The lithium mining.
Google yeah, lithium that. Ion
yeah. Or to dispose of them when they're old.
Yeah, the disposal of them too also
nightmarish.
Has an environmental cost. And I mean, maybe Elon's thinking, well, I don't care about that. I can just send them to the moon or something, right? You know, I don't know, but I feel like if he's being honest, which I don't think he is, I think he's being a puppet. I think he's being either handled. Or otherwise attempting to, I don't know, what do they call it? What would the people have been calling for him to be investigated by the SEC?
Right.
Now, he's just a man talking, so like I don't find any problem with him talking.
Well, there's SEC regulations about what he can and cannot say in his position.
So. Right, but in an anarcho world, those Understood. Regulations don't really, so I don't care that he's running his mouth, but... At the same time, he is attempting to manipulate markets, in my personal opinion.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And at the same time, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. But he is, for the amount of libertarian-type people and the anarchists that put him on a pedestal,
yeah.
As like, this is the guy.
What do they call it? Simping?
Yes. Yeah, simping for Elon.
I'm not sure,
what's a simp? A simpleton?
It's I want to, the best way I can describe it is like a hanger on, like the loser that can't get the girl, but that will do anything for the girl. Just like,
you mean friend zone?
Sure. That's a good way to put it. I think someone once used the term orbiter because they're always around her. Yeah. I like that one.
Like the helicopter parents, except different.
Except like the guy going after them.
Yeah.
But what is your definition of simping? Call in 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. Or are you a simp? Let us know. We're back. with Free Talk Live, the live Thursday night edition of the show. 603-283-6160.
Oh, wow. It's Thursday, man.
Thursday. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, tis I, Mr. Richie Rich, along with...
Matty Matt.
And Captain Captain?
Yeah. That doesn't I think you have to go sense. Captain E Captain, though.
Oh, can I go Kick-Ass E Kick-Ass?
Sure.
Why not?
Neither of those sing, though. Like, Richie Rich sings, Matty Matt sings. I'll just go with the Captain. That's fine.
That's one of the reasons why I did it. It rolls off the tongue. If I just said Rich, it doesn't sound right. But you throw the middle initial in there, and all of a sudden, you got something.
If you were like, you got Richard E. Richard.
Yeah. Dickie Dick.
You've got a legendary cartoon character.
Matthew E. Matthew.
He spells it differently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's like R-I-C-H-I-E space R-I-C-H.
Right, yeah, his first name is Richie, his last name, as opposed to first name Rich, middle initial E, right. Last name Rich, right?
And that's at one point in time, I did carry the I-E, you know, as Richie, and then I got to college, and I had a professor go like, so when are you going to drop that and be more professional? I'm like, I don't know, when I get a job?
when I was in music tech, one of my instructors called my home telephone. This is... before everybody had cell phones, probably the dawn of the pager era.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm old.
Ancient times.
Yes, these are back in the prehistoric times.
Founded in an archaeological dig. The captain's old pager phone.
It was just a pager, not a pager phone. Anyway, he called, and we had just gotten done that morning. It was like a Saturday. No, it was a Sunday. He called on a Sunday for some reason to tell me about something to like bring for class on Monday or whatever. But that Saturday, or that Saturday night, we had a big keg party at the house, and me and my friend Brett and Todd, we all woke up the next day, and we had an answering machine with the cassette in it, right? And so we decided that we were going to record a funny greeting for the day, because the phone was like ringing a couple of times. We're like, oh, this is annoying. We're hungover. And so we recorded this message. What we did is we took the bucket that the keg was in, and we took the keg out. There was still some ice floating in it, so we took a big old, like a Big Gulp or a McDonald's large cup or whatever, and we scooped some of the ice out of it, and we put the answering machine like real close to us, okay, over the tub that used to contain the keg for a sound effect. And what we did is we hit record, and we were like, we're hungover today. And then Brett was like, and then we poured the ice into the bucket of water, so it sounded like plop, chunks plop, or plop, yeah, plop, nice. Plop, plop, plop. Call us back later. Click, right? And that was the entire message. It was beautiful. It was a work of art. I was going to school for audio engineering. We audio engineered this insanely awesome answering machine message on cassette on our answering machine. One of my instructors calls later that day, and he said, yeah, I'm calling to, you know, like remind you to bring blah, blah, blah to class, whatever. I go to class that Monday, and he goes, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm like, sure. And he's like, well, when I called, you know, your answering machine, the message that you have on the outgoing, it's not very professional.
Yeah, of course not.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? We put like a good 30, 40 minutes worth of effort. We did like four takes trying to get the perfect like splooshes with the ice and whatever make it sound like you're actually
your art
hurling.
Was he teacher, though, teaching the audio?
No, he was teaching. Oh, okay. He was actually teaching his time management.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, he knows nothing.
Yeah. I mean, he was an audio engineer in and of himself, but like his forte was like, sort of the business management side of things. He wasn't.
If
like
he knew about time
side.
Management, he would have known that that comment was a total waste of time.
No creativity whatsoever. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Nick from Maryland wants to talk about, you know, simping for Elon.
Simping
Nick.
For Musk.
Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about how Elon and how he's basically he's manipulating everything with regards to crypto for his own gains. And he's just speaking out and trying to slam the price down because he still has a large share of Bitcoin, I think.
Well, this is the thing. Why slam the price down? What's the point of that?
So he can buy more.
Okay. Well, he could have easily done that just by selling more Teslas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of true. But as far as I'm concerned, it's really just another buying opportunity because I think we're going to see it just keep going up and up as with regards to inflation as well.
Yeah, relation to the dollar, almost guaranteed. What you can, like, this is the weird thing when you're going through this inflationary, I don't know if it's a bubble, but this inflationary period, is it's hard to measure things at that point because everything is going to be more expensive related to the dollar, but related to cryptocurrency or anything else, what's the value proposition? Like, are you gaining more value out of those cryptocurrencies if you're always measuring it against the price of the dollar?
Yeah, that is a good question.
So Tesla did file in February saying that he bought, or you know, it bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. I don't know what the price of Bitcoin was in February or how many actual Bitcoin $1.5 billion translates into.
Billion dollars.
But I'm sure it's a lot. At that time, the company said it would start accepting Bitcoin as a payment for its products. So February, March, April, 3 months later.
Has a change of heart.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, well, for whatever reason. On some levels, I'm like, oh, this guy is just a regular dude, like when it comes to Bitcoin. Like, he's not trying to manipulate it. He's not some super genius.
You don't know Elon.
But he's talking to, like, you know, some buddy of his that he's getting high with on the weekend or whatever. And like, oh, dude, have you heard about the amount of energy that it takes to mine Bitcoin? Yeah, man, it's like through the – and so, you know, and then the next thing you know, Musk is like – hey, after hearing about this thing, I'm just not going to accept Bitcoin anymore. Like, as if anybody other than Elon Musk said any of these words to anybody, nobody would care and would have zero effect on the price of Bitcoin. It just so happens that he's a multi-billionaire, and when he says, it's like E.F. Hutton, you know, when he speaks, people listen.
Nick, thoughts?
Yeah, everyone, they're just following the leaders, and the so-called leaders, you know, they like to follow whatever the trendy people are doing.
And Elon is definitely a trendy person. All right. Thank you for the call.
He is a trendy person.
So one thing you have to understand about Elon, and I believe this about Elon, I believe that Elon really does believe that he's in a simulation. And therefore, nothing he does matters.
That's right.
Right. Like, he's on record. And of all the nonsensical things that he said, I believe that he believes that because the way he behaves makes me believe that he believes that. Like, if you're really living in a simulation, right, not only do your actions not matter on the grander scale, they have zero impact on anybody else in the world because they're just part of your simulation or part of the simulation. And so if you know that, right, like compared to The Matrix, even though that's an ancient movie at this point as well, if you know you're in the Matrix, right, you maximize your value inside of it.
Why wouldn't you?
And so to do these things, he's messing with the system, right, and seeing if he can actually manipulate the Matrix.
He's like Neo, and he's just figuring out how to manipulate the Matrix before he realizes that he actually has power?
Yeah, or weird. If he has it, yeah. Your thoughts, more on Elon, 603-283-6160.
Here, have a cookie. After you eat it, you'll feel right as rain.
Right. 603-283-6160.
The Terran Federation and the Terran League have been killing each other for decades. Sheltered, wealthy, and light years from the threat, the members of the 500 have no interest in changing that. When Rear Admiral Terrence Murphy is given governorship of a backwater system, a risk-free path to wealth and power is his for the taking. But Murphy is a man of honor, duty, and responsibility. He intends to stop the killing, whatever the cost. Governor, by David Weber and Richard Fox, from BaneBooks.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. The live Thursday night edition. In the studio tonight, tis I, Mr. Richie Rich, along with
Matty Matt.
Captainy Captain.
I thought you weren't going to do that.
You went with
ad-libbing.
Man.
I think it kind of came out okay, though.
All right.
I don't know. I don't like the E between Captain. It's like, okay. like what is the E stand
Well, you're not
for?
Really a captain. You're just Captain E.
Captain, there you go. Captain.
Captain-ish.
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 Captain Antonelli.
All right. Before we get back into Elon, let's talk about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. And maybe Elon should have took a trip down Bitcoin.com, figured it out beforehand.
I've got more on that after you're done.
Okay. You can go there now and click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find all sorts of valuable information neatly organized to suit your needs. There's no longer an excuse for ignoring this important world-changing information. If you are a knowledgeable crypto user, you can check out news.bitcoin.com to get the latest headlines of all the news that's relevant to you. Bitcoin.com is your source for everything crypto, like getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick, easy-to-use website. That website is bitcoin.com. So you had more on this, Captain?
I do. Thanks, Richie.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Go for it.
Okay. This is from bitcoin.com. I know, weird, huh? This is written by Jamie Redmond. This is from January 19th of 2021, when all of this, these comments about Bitcoin is somehow not green, right, started floating around. Oh, the amount of energy it takes us to make crypto. Oh, my God. Right.
Yeah, that's old news now, in Jamie, the Bitcoin world.
Jamie Redmond is one of my favorite authors over at Bitcoin.com. In fact, he's so pervasive and prevalent and good at his job. He's been promoted since this article has been written. But that's neither here nor there. The headline here says, Bitcoin energy consumption is far more efficient and greener than today's banking system.
But what?
I know. Weird, huh? While Bitcoin and a variety of digital currencies have swelled in value, a number of critics have spread fear, uncertainty, and doubt, also known as FUD, in regard to the energy consumption proof-of-work cryptocurrencies leveraged to produce new units of currency. Just recently, the software engineer Stephen Deal expressed his dissatisfaction over the environmental cost of Bitcoin. However, cryptocurrency supporters believe Deal failed to mention the amount of renewable energy used and/or wasted by a great number of mining facilities alongside insurmountable costs to operate today's banking system. And by mining in this respect, he means actual mining of the earth, right? You know, like backhoes and like people with shovels and backbreaking work and digging tunnels. So, actual mining.
So before we even get into the comparison between the cost of Bitcoin and the banking system.
Yes.
Help me out here. Is the environmental cost and the environmental factors not somehow built into the market price? Or would that not happen in a free market? You go like, well, you're polluting the earth. And people just go, well, we're not going to use that then.
I mean, into Bitcoin, yes. Or any other cryptocurrency. Right. Absolutely. Yes, it is. But there isn't any of that going on in cryptocurrency. So you're asking, is the market price of
Bitcoin?
No. The you have to look at the other side of it. So we're comparing Bitcoin to central bank currencies, aka government currencies. And your question isn't the cost of, you know, like mining and the, like, you know, whatever it is that goes into making the banking system go built into the market price. Well, no. I mean, maybe to an extent, yes, but like,
no, I'm really just talking about Bitcoin.
Oh, okay.
Like if the current price of Bitcoin is hovering somewhere around 50,000. Right.
Yes.
The incentive to mine, right, to pay all that expenses on electricity is the value that you get from selling off what you've mined at that current market price.
Correct.
Now, if there were environmental concerns, right, if it was destroying the environment, I would think on an economic side of things that environmental concern, those environmental factors would be taken into account either at the price of Bitcoin or at the price of electricity, which in turn would affect the price of Bitcoin. So you have these offshore mining operations where electricity is substantially cheaper than it is, you know, in more well-developed nations, I guess, for lack of a better term. And you go like, well, that's the place to do it, right? Because the cost is low, the price is high, you know, substantially high right now. Where's the environmental impact?
Yeah, like I read earlier today that there is some large Bitcoin mining operation that just bought a hydro plant.
Okay.
And the idea is they're going to move their whole operation to this hydro plant so that, guess what? All of their electricity is paid by water that runs through that area anyway. That's the whole point of a hydro plant. And so I don't recall ever hearing a central bank going, hey, we just bought this hydro plant so that we can make your government currency more green.
Yeah, but now you're going to start hearing stories about how the hydro plant's making it impossible for the salmon to spawn correctly. It's blocking their route.
Or we'll hear about, well, the hydro plant providing this low-cost electricity to the Bitcoin miners isn't fair to the bankers who have to rely on the actual grid to print the FRNs that they don't actually print.
Sure. And if the price of electricity got high enough to mine the Bitcoin, which would, you know, either disincentivize miners or raise the price, right, then they would seek out cheaper alternatives that may be greener.
Right. Wenatchee, Washington.
I'm familiar.
You're like, where? Well, you okay, yeah. But you're a Bitcoin enthusiast.
Oh, no, because I've
Oh, you've been there?
No, okay. I lived in Spokane.
That's right. I forgot you were in there. Yeah, okay. Well, Wenatchee is on the, we'll call it the east side of the mountains. There's a mountain range going through the state of Washington, and that sort of divides the state into the west third and the eastern two-thirds, if you will. That is a hot spot. I can't remember the name of the company. It's a Bitcoin mining company.
Okay.
I almost got a job with those guys at some point when I was in between jobs because I wanted to work in Bitcoin, and it would have been just basically maintaining their server farm, right? Guy walking back and forth, up and down, you know, checking boxes, making sure nothing started on fire or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Is the Cat 6 cable plugged in?
It's a hot spot for cryptocurrency to be mined, even at the consumer individual level. Like, people who are into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency will move there because of the cheap cost of electricity. There's a hydro plant in the area and the cheap cost of electricity, et cetera, and so on. And, like, the local government is trying to do something about it, and they're very not good at trying to do something about it, of course, because they're the government, and they're slow, and they're lumbering, whereas everybody in Bitcoin is fast and quick to adapt. But, yeah, people are literally moving there, but not only, you know, to work at this place, but also to mine themselves because of the cheap cost of electricity. So wherever there is less expensive electricity, you are going to draw cryptocurrency miners.
And okay, so is that bad for the environment that they're going to where there's cheaper costs of electricity then?
I mean,
isn't that a good thing?
In my mind, here's how the price of electricity is cheap in most areas, at least in the United States, because it's supplemented with some sort of green energy, whether it's solar, whether it's hydro, whatever. Like, everything else that's coal-fired and all that kind of stuff is high. I don't know how electricity is generated here in New Hampshire, but I can tell you the cost of electricity, pretty damn high compared to the other places in the United States. It's not really cost-effective to mine cryptocurrency here from the electricity price perspective. If you're looking at it from that perspective, you're not going to land on New Hampshire as one of your top spots to go to mine.
Ah, but if you're an enthusiast for Bitcoin and you just want to be, you know, like a hobbyist.
Yes.
Right? Then sure.
Sure. But absolutely.
Pricing it out? No. That's my point. It's like the environmental impact seems like it would be wrapped up in the price and the cost already associated with the mining operation.
You are correct.
All right. More coming up. Your thoughts on this or anything else you want to talk about, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And live with Free Talk Live. We're always doing it live.
I like to say it.
There's been like those one or two times.
What's his name?
What's the guy's name? It's horrible.
O'Reilly. We'll do it live. O'Reilly. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly. The call-in number for this show, not Bill O'Reilly show, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. More to go on that Elon Musk story?
Well, I actually moved on to the Bitcoin.com story that says that Bitcoin isn't a wasteful. In fact, it's more green than the current banking system.
Well, hold that thought then, and we will come back to that, the Bitcoin.com story. But first, to the phones, we have Nate in Maine. COVID vaccines related to a Simpsons prediction, maybe?
Ooh. Oh, man, here we go.
Nate, you're on.
Yes. So the other night I was watching an older episode of The Simpsons. It's 2000s, so pretty old. It was the one where Homer gets this computer and he's typing about people and starts to become conspiracy theories and stuff. And he has one conspiracy theory that he's correct about, and that's microchips in the flu shot.
Oh.
And that just kind of got me thinking about microchips in the COVID shot because, well, I feel like that's actually a thing.
Well, and The Simpsons, haven't they sort of predicted many things? Trump being president, you know.
I feel like The Simpsons have predicted a handful of things.
Yeah.
And then some of it has been retconned onto The Simpsons. Like anything new that happens, they forge a Simpsons episode or screenshot.
Wasn't there a South Park episode, too, where they tried to do a bunch of stuff throughout the entire episode and anything they tried to do, they're like, no, we can't do that. Simpsons did it.
Simpsons did it.
They've been around for, like, what, 30 years, 30 years at this point? Yeah. There's not much they haven't done. Nate?
Right.
Was that it? Just that the Simpsons predicted the chips in the vaccine, or was there more to that?
Well, there was a little more. There was that. That's actually what I was calling in. I called in last night, and I was going to talk about that, but I ended up getting dumped because I used a bad word.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
You got flushed.
Yes.
That is the worst sound on the entire podcast. It's loud. LRM. It's obnoxious.
FM.
Yeah.
And what they were talking about was like masks in TV shows.
Yes. I was listening to that.
And I have seen that. Not a lot, but
Scrubs and Grey's Anatomy does not count.
Right. No, this was Fear of the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead, The World Beyond.
Okay.
They're not wearing masks for COVID or anything. Well, not in the show anyway. They're like wearing it for like shoveling excrement and stuff like that.
They've written in mask wearing as part of the fiction.
That's almost smart.
From what I've seen in The Walking Dead, yes.
Like, I could imagine, like, some sort of dystopian series writing that in is like, part of the fiction. But I've been watching a bunch of... I'm into science fiction, so I've been watching science fiction stuff.
Nerds.
And I am a nerd. Yeah, it's true. I'm watching this thing now called, like, it's Jupiter's... Legacy, Jupiter something or another. It's a
Jupiter's Legacy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a superhero bit, but about like superheroes you ain't never heard of. So there's no Superman, Batman, you know, there's no DC or Marvel characters.
So like
all,
Amazon's The Boys.
Kind of, yeah, ripoff. But like produced by somebody else. It's pretty good.
Okay.
But there's no masks anywhere in that show, and it was filmed recently. I also have been watching films recently that were filmed recently or released recently that were filmed supposedly during the pandemic, quote unquote. And I don't see any masks in those either.
No, me neither.
Do see masks on... I try not to watch as much as I can. Every now and again, there'll be a TV on somewhere that I'm at.
As the world turns.
That's got the news.
Oh,
right?
The news.
And like, there'll be a reporter standing in front of some scene with a mask on going, and tonight, behind me, and it sounds like Kenny reporting the news from South Park.
Yes.
Any other thoughts, Nate?
No, that was that.
All right. Thank you for the call. I don't watch a lot of TV either. So I don't, I can't really comment.
I download all my shit. I'm old. And
same here.
Somebody asked me like, well, how did you see that entire series commercial free? And I'm like, I'm old and I have the internet.
Right.
I know how these things go.
But I do remember coming across an article like maybe partway through the pandemic last year, might've been earlier this year, where they were talking about like the daytime soaps. And how are they going to continue, right, without the masks and also be protective of the you know, pandemic. And it was basically a thin film between the actors doing the kissy scenes.
Right? Stop.
So that they could continue to do the, you know, the provocative kissy scenes, but also be protected.
Please,
in some form or fashion.
Make it stop.
Didn't they invent that long before COVID and call it a body condom?
Something like that. Now, we talk about the mask. I don't want to call you out or put you on the carpet, Maddie Matt, but around the studio, in the beginning, you were the very first person wearing the N95s.
I was real early to market. Oh, right. No, I had N99.
Okay. Either way. But
I do recall Maddie Matt here.
The doorknob on this place went from deep bronze to bleach white because I was following everybody around. All you guys were coming in to do the show, and I was spraying everything.
That's what I recall. Yeah, right. you were sort of.
But this is when
the
general
guy.
Yeah, and this is when the general herd wasn't doing anything. They didn't even know what was going on. You know, if this had been a real plague,
you would have been.
Considering the reaction time of the general public, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
So at what point, though, did it kind of switch for you where it went from like super cleaning everything, the mask, to like, this isn't as bad as we thought, and I'm not going to do
that
anymore?
It was like May of last year.
Okay, so
April,
fairly early
April
on.
April or May, yeah.
Do you recall?
What was the epiphany? Yeah, what was the thing?
I can't even remember. I was just watching the time tick by, and I was watching it get politicized. And as soon as I felt it getting politicized, I was like, yeah, it's over.
Okay.
That's it.
The pandemic is over. The rest is just show theater.
Yeah,
at that point.
And Ian was laughing at me the whole time. In fact, I went to Home Depot and I bought all of the N95 masks they had.
Yeah. I remember you being ahead of that. You go, like, people don't know. These are way better than any of the other masks.
Yeah.
I've stocked up.
And I brought one home to Ian. I was like, Ian, I got one for you too. And he like laughed at me. He's like, take it back. I'm never going to wear that thing. I'm like, dude, come on. You got to, you know, just, you know. It's a good idea. You could get sick and you could die. He's like, I'm not going to get sick and I'm not going
to
die.
Were you able to resell any of those and make a profit?
No, because Facebook Marketplace wouldn't let you post them. And Craigslist was deleting ads and things.
And at some point it became illegal. There was that dude that had his truck raided, right?
Yeah. The Orthodox Jew guy in New York City. He
Something
had like
that.
A million masks. Why would they do that?
This is what I loved
price
about...
Price gouging.
This is what I loved about
price
the
gouging.
Comedian...
Capitalism.
Known as George Carlin. George Carlin would write things down that happened because, like, even in his time, there was a cycle of news, right, that was longer than the cycle we have now. Now we have max 2 weeks, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something that happens might last max 2 weeks before something else bumps it.
Even if it's 2 weeks, it has to be major.
Right. But George Carlin would write things down that people would eventually forget. And then he would go on stage and put together some sort of a diatribe that contained all of the key words or new phrases that were invented during the things that everybody forgot and remind them of what they forgot. And people would think it was hilarious when it was really just him messing with their subconscious. And that was great.
Yeah. And I think we covered this a little bit last night on She Talk Live. When you're forced to like watch the mainstream media, you get all that fear mongering pumped into your brain.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
And that's one of the things where I think I've avoided the fears because I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't want to watch a lot of live TV. So I miss all of that. Like my content, like you, is downloaded, you know, commercial free. And I watch what I want and then that's it.
Every now and again, I watch the NFL sports ball.
Okay.
And
I don't know what that is.
National Football League. Like replace the word national with government in just about anything.
Right? I only know about the
XFL. You got national parks. No, they're government parks. You got the National Basketball League. No, it's the government basketball league. You got the National Football League. No, it's the government football league. But at any rate, I'll watch that live during the football season and become re-inundated. Right. So I have this seasonal sort of like...
NFL Fast Pass?
This weird thing, like, yeah, it happens to be seasonally where I get to see all the propaganda and all the commercials and all the fear-mongering and go, holy cow, am I glad I haven't been watching live TV or regular TV for the rest of the year.
All right, your thoughts on the other side of the break, 603-283-6160. How much commercial TV do you watch, and are you inundated with all that fear as well? 603-283-6160. More coming up with Free Talk Live.
Breaking weather news. Belize is sunny and around 82 degrees every day this week.
What's the forecast for your life? If current politics and economic prospects are cramping your freedom, escape to the tropics. ECI Development has affordable second homes for you to own or rent in Belize and other tropical countries. Places with stable governments and growing economies. Secure your freedom now. To find out more, send an email to ftl@ecidevelopment.com.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back. Still here doing a radio show live on this Thursday night. You can participate if you call 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And if you're watching the cams, you can dance along with Maddie Matt and the captain. Also in the studio tonight, I am hosting Mr. Richie Rich. Let's talk about the Crypto Six, because that seems to be important. We might get dear leader Ian back.
Poor Bonnie was all excited.
Fingers
about,
crossed.
You know, maybe getting a call today to like have to go and pick him up. And I was just like, oh, come on. Like, I mean, I think you've been around long enough to know that the government takes its time. I think the earliest we'll see Ian walk is maybe Monday.
Okay.
Right? And by walk, I mean get out on insane bail conditions.
Kicked out of the jail.
Yeah.
Been
told you're still kind of in jail, but virtually and, you know, whatever.
So, okay, I'm gonna read this, and then I want to talk about that very briefly. The Crypto Six. On March 16th, 2021, government agencies conspired together and raided the Free Talk Live studio, the Bitcoin Embassy, and the homes of Aria DeMezzo, Renee and Andy Spinella, and Colleen Fordham, a grandmother in her 60s.
Apparently. They're terrorists. Terrorists. Damn it.
The Crypto Six were then arrested and taken into custody, and Ian Freeman and Nobody remain in custody for now. What can you do to help? Check out thecrypto6.com. There are multiple ways in which you can donate to their legal defense fund, because these charges aren't a joke. It's going to take a serious legal team and many experts to protect the Crypto Six from further aggression from the state. This case will likely set precedent that will affect the world of cryptocurrency for decades to come. Help them in their fight for liberty and financial freedom by contributing to their legal defense fund at thecrypto6.com. Once more, thecrypto6.com. Now, it was suggested last night that Ian, when he does get out, may be on house arrest in some form or fashion.
Yeah, the judge was very wishy-washy about that kind of a thing, saying that generally in federal cases, they don't ask for the ankle monitoring device. That doesn't mean that he still won't be, you know, remanded to house arrest. It just means that, right, that he won't have to wear the, you know, the tracking device.
But remanded to house arrest, allowed to leave for work-related things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what were to happen if somehow there was like a Free Talk Live committee that outvoted Ian and said that Free Talk Live will be broadcast from Porkfest Forkfest 2021.
Well, that to me sounds like already a work activity.
Right.
Free Talk Live has already traditionally been broadcast from Fork and Pork, or Pork and Fork, depending.
Understood.
And so Free Talk Live currently, even, you know, Free Talk Live, the entity, plans on being at Porkfest and Forkfest in some way, shape, or form, planning as if Ian were still to be in jail. So if Ian gets out of jail, well, bonus.
All the better.
That to me sounds like a work-related activity.
Absolutely. I agree.
But what will the government say?
They can't say anything.
Well, they could say no. You're
government
still
doesn't have a mouth. It can't talk.
Well, we also still don't have the conditions. That's
right.
That's the suspected. Yeah, that's how he's, you know, the way the judge was talking, that's how it sounded it was going to go.
Right. Yeah. And I hear you that you don't want to speculate. I don't think it's ever unfair to speculate.
Yeah. And that judge clearly wanted to get money. And he realizes that Ian needs to work in order for Ian to get money.
Right.
So that means don't separate him from his work.
Okay. How do you mean the judge wants to get money? Like they want to find him guilty and
then
punish him financially?
Some sort of collateral.
They want bail.
Yeah, bail. Okay. Whether it's money or property or something, they want something significant to be put up to minimize his risk of flight.
Well, give him back the Federal Reserve notes they stole from the safe, and
yeah,
they have a sufficient portion of that right there.
They already kind of have it. Right? They're sitting on it, right?
Yeah. All right. So let's move on with the Gun Talk Live portion of the show. We have resident firearms enthusiast Matty Matt in the studio. So we try to find...
Well, and you're also an enthusiast, yeah?
Yes, mm-hmm. But not as long as Matt.
No, I realize Matt's sort of the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, I like that.
Of the group.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi,
yes.
So we try to find some firearms-related news and headlines. And
this is where you say something like, I am he is me.
Of course I know him, he's me.
I'm looking for the one who goes by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Do you know him?
I do. Wait, I can't remember what the...
Oh, you got it right the first time.
Yeah, that's right. In my mind, the first time I was reading it from a meme in my head.
Good enough. Of course I know him.
What, he's me.
There you go.
What kind of things do we have to pepper Obi-Wan Kenobi with?
So we can talk about the gun buybacks. We can talk about the recent NRA decision regarding their lawsuit.
Yeah, I find that really strange. I don't know. I mean, as a gun dude, I don't really like the NRA. Almost all the anti-gun legislation we already have on the books did not come from leftists or, you know, Karens complaining.
It came from the NRA?
It came from the NRA lawyers writing it. So it was their way of compromise with the anti-gunners, so they would write the code themselves. Because
it would have been much worse.
A lot worse. But it's pretty awful as it is, and they wrote every word of it.
All right.
So, or most of it. I don't care about the NRA at all.
Okay.
I had a membership a long, long, long time ago. I'm glad I didn't buy a lifetime membership. They're just not effective. There are other organizations out there. The Gun Owners of America are awesome. Awesome. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership are awesome. National Association for Gun Rights is awesome. There's a lot of other institutions that you can be giving your money to on an annual basis that work absolutely tirelessly with no pomp and circumstance. You know, the NRA is really old, you know, and that's cool, I guess. It's antique-y, you know, it's
vintage.
It's vintage. How effective are they?
And I guess as the resident lifetime NRA member, which I am now, I will say you're probably right. And yet to me, it seemed like the lifetime membership at the discounted rate would save a bunch of money in the long run because you only pay it once.
And that's true.
So I went, here it is. And then I got a cool hat, a cool jacket.
How much did you pay?
They threw swag at you.
$750.
That's it.
That's a
lifetime membership. You got a jacket and a hat. What else
I have a magazine subscription.
So you get some periodicals?
I get a periodical.
Physically?
Yeah, I checked the box to have the. I think I bought shooting or something like that, but whatever.
Have you been a member? I'm just trying to see if your $750 in value has been returned to you in some.
Oh no, not at all.
Okay,
okay. So here was my reason for doing it. Have I gotten my $750 in value back? No. However, it was my 2021 goal. Like I set a goal for myself at the beginning of the year. I didn't have a New Year's resolution. I said, I wonder what it's going to take to become a certified firearms instructor.
Okay. All right. So membership is part of your goal.
It's an unnecessary part, but it makes life a little bit easier to have a membership. To have a membership to be a certified instructor in the NRA, because things just get done faster for current members than they do for people who aren't members but are going to have the certification.
So it's like a way to grease the wheel a little bit?
For me, that's what it was. And okay. I go, well, if this pans out... Right, I could buy the annual membership over and over and over again.
Okay, so if you did the lifetime membership and you meet your goal and you eventually, you know,
goal has been met.
I assume you're going to hire these services out, right? You're going to have people pay you for these instructor services.
I will be assisting another instructor this Saturday, 2 days from now. But okay, yes, the goal was to start making money at the end.
I imagine that this increases your chance of getting your value back of the $750.
Yes and no. The value I get back, like if I consider the $750 like a business expense,
right
when I start
just like all the other expenses that you had to do to go through all the other things you had to do to become an instructor, right,
which I did, so I will get that back in revenue when I start doing the classes. But as far as value just for being a lifetime member or a member of the NRA, no, I chalked it up as a business expense, okay, not really a donation.
I like your strategy.
All right, more coming up. Are you a member of the NRA? Or is there any organizations that Maddie Matt missed out on that you want to talk about? 603-283-6160. More coming up with Free Talk Live. And we are back with Free Talk Live, Thursday night edition, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Sitting in the studio tonight, tis I, Mr. Richie Rich, along with...
Matty Matt.
And the Captain.
Dropping the E? No need it anymore?
I'm just ad-libbing and winging it. Whatever feels right, man.
Do you only do like the full nickname when you're sitting in the first chair, where it's Lord Reverend Captain Kickass Junior the Third,
Buckshot Esquire, if you will? it's technically the Lord Reverend Doctor Captain Kickass, and I try to only say it once per show.
Okay, did you already say it this show?
I did not.
Okay, so
this will
it?
Be the one time.
It's
yes,
the quota. Quota has been met for this show.
Quota met. You can check that box.
All right, so on the other side of that break, we were talking about some gun-related issues with Obi-Wan. What do you call him? Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And he said, guys, I don't really like the gun chalk that you brought in to talk to me about today. We have bigger issues to fry.
Well, I don't know if we're going to... I don't know if we're really going to hear about it until later on in the week, but a little bit of stuff has been trickling out of the ATF, and that's never a good thing. They
redefining really, terms.
That's basically what they're doing.
Is that the aliens, Terrans, and I don't know, whatever.
Wait, I thought they shut down the ATF and then brought in the AFT. Didn't Biden?
That's right, the AFT.
The AFT.
That's the new thing. That's Biden's Space Force.
Wait,
right,
and
there.
Didn't they add a letter? Wasn't it alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and
explosives?
Explosives.
Yeah, BTF.
So it could be fate. It could be firearms, alcohol, tobacco, explosives, and be spelled fate. They'll seal your fate.
Well,
but then they wouldn't be a three-letter agency anymore. You know?
That's right. Yeah. Five.
Because the bureau's
alcohol,
in there.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, explosives. They had to throw bureau in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in a sneak peek at the earliest version of what we have of whatever they're going to say later on this week, they're going to just muddle a lot of water. And one of the things they said, I can't remember exactly how it was stated, but they're talking about anything that encloses a trigger.
Oh, yeah.
So now AR-15s, you can get like a normal AR-15 trigger is a normal AR-15 trigger. It comes in two parts, a trigger and a hammer, three parts, trigger, hammer, and a sear. Unless you get an M-16s and then it's another part or two. But with AR-15s, a lot of companies have come out with these little cassette triggers. They're all enclosed in a casing of their own. Now, does that mean that those...
Drop-in trigger pack?
A drop-in trigger pack. They're real handy. They're really nice. They're expensive. They're high quality. But the new wording from the ATF makes it sound like even just the trigger pack could be considered a firearm unto itself.
So
they're not making any sense at all. And it's clear that they are doing the typical government thing. They're coming up with a one size fits all solution for a lot of people who are all different sizes, shapes, and colors. So it's just, this is not going to go well. Will they enforce these regulations? Who knows?
If you had to summarize what they're doing for like the layman, what would you say?
I'd say that they're busybodies who are being politically motivated.
No. I mean more closely to the actions that you've just described.
Okay, let me give this a shot. They're redefining terms to try to be more all-encompassing to push through Biden's anti-gun agenda.
Are they redefining definitions of guns and gun parts in order to make criminals out of otherwise peaceful people?
Right. Correct.
So to sort of answer Maddie Matt's question about, like, will it be enforced? The answer is likely no. Right? Are they going to call this trigger pack the firearm? Likely not. Until it serves them to do so, and then they have this definition to fall back on to go like, oh no. It's right here in the guidance. We were very clear in, you know, whenever this happens in the future, we were very clear in 2021 that anything that houses and encloses the trigger.
And here it is.
And here it is. There was also part of that guidance that came out was a redefining of the firearms that he was talking about, but also the 80 percenters.
Yep.
Right. That is, you know, the polymer 80 or the 80% arms frames that are incomplete, that you have to take incomplete, get it mailed to your house direct from the company incomplete, and you have to do some work on it yourself. You have to, you know, use some tools and some jigs and drill it out and mill it out. Same with the 80% AR receivers, like the lower receiver that you get, you know, you got to drill some holes in that thing, man, to make it functional as a firearm. They're saying if the company sells you that, along with the rest of the parts to complete the firearm, then that part that they're selling you, that 80% part, in and of itself becomes the firearm as well. And where they are not clear, right, is at what percent does it not? Because the working definition, even though it's not really 80%, right, like that percentage is kind of irrelevant. It's just the term people use for incomplete. At 80%, that is now a firearm. But is it a firearm at 60%? Is it still a firearm? Like, how much material has to be milled out? If they sent you a rectangular aluminum block of billet steel or billet aluminum, right? That's 0%, right? Is it still a firearm? Or if they make like one cut into that billet, you're already at the... So that part is not clear. And so, you know, and that's the new guidance, right? Like, standing guidance for so long, 80%, not quote, a firearm.
Quote, guidance, unquote.
Well, okay. And that is a whole nother issue, right? Because this is not law. This is not regulation.
Right.
This is, you know, this is not things passed down by, you know, your elected officials. This is just the bureaucracy of the ATF reclassifying things at their whim. At the behest of the Biden administration.
I haven't checked it for myself yet, but the word on the street is that, you know, whenever the ATF starts doing this stuff and they're trying, you know, feathers start getting ruffled correctly, rightfully, the ATF has like a comment section so you can go online or you can even mail a letter to tell the ATF what you think, and they have listened in the past, believe it or not. You know, enough people show some anger and they send some nasty grams to the ATF. The ATF says, okay, fine.
We won't change.
Apparently this time, the comment section isn't available on the internet.
Oh, so this is just going to get hammered right through.
I was going to say, I don't know how much louder I can make my middle finger.
Right, exactly.
Not on the air.
Not on the air.
Yeah.
Even in the ATF comment section.
Well, yeah, but on the comment section, be as loud as you want. Let's keep it family friendly for now. One of the other things I think they're trying to do with these redefining of terms, it's recently come to light that the AR platform itself, right, like the lower receiver, doesn't fit the definition of firearm as it's laid out by the ATF, and the upper receiver doesn't fit the definition of a firearm as it relates to the ATF. So there's a guy going around and, like, you know, arguing in court that none of these are firearms, and I think the ATF is trying to, like, patch that hole a little bit to reclassify that, which is why we got all these new guidelines.
Got to move the goalposts. Got to get people in prison.
Your thoughts, 603-283-6160. Do you have experience with the ATF? 603-283-6160.
A newly recruited search and rescue officer, Marshall Hunter, was resigned to a life of rescuing wayward spacefarers and derelict satellites. But when a billionaire couple goes missing, his own ship is disabled during the rescue. With communication satellites suddenly failing and lunar mineral shipments disappearing in transit, the crew suspects it's more than a coincidence. And Hunter must choose between salvation and sacrifice to save his crewmates and their civilian charges. Frontier by Patrick Childs and BingBooks.com.
Yeah.
we're back with the Hollywood edition of Free Talk Live.
That's right. Hollywood kick-ass inspired Hollywood Richie Rich and Hollywood Maddie Matt.
And if you need to understand that reference, you got to look at the cams, because all of a sudden, dude, we're like, we're all wearing sunglasses indoors, man.
I don't even know what our URLs are for the cams. It's like twitch.dlock. I don't know.
Does Cam not get cam.freetalklive.com?
Yeah, actually. Well, and actually, LRN.FM, I think, has the Twitch feed on it,
okay,
which if you hit play, will play for a while, but then eventually will be like, blah, 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 and you got to click a thing that says watch on Twitch. It'll open a new tab and allow you to watch the rest on Twitch.
So before you call in, at least during this segment of the show, please make sure you don a pair of shades to get into the theme of the moment, and then dial 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 to join us, the Hollywood crew. Hollywood Talk Live.
I was told a long time ago that in order to be the Hollywood version of yourself, that you must don sunglasses.
Do you also have to like smear boot polish over your beard?
Well, I think like lean back, like normally I'd be all up in the thing, you know what I mean? But like just chill out and lean back a bit, man.
And you got to be really tan.
I'm not tan.
Me either.
That's way too much preparation.
Yeah.
Like he said, I'm doing the Hollywood thing, and I went and grabbed my shades, and that was it.
Yep.
You know?
And that's all you need.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all you need.
We're all Hollywood then.
Yeah. It's the Hollywood edition. The Hollywood segment.
The glare from the studio lights is drastically reduced, though. I kind of like this whole sunglasses in the studio thing.
It is.
I'm in.
I remember one time, like, I used to wear sunglasses at night because it was, like, the cool thing to do, and so did a buddy of mine. And we were driving one time. He's like, man, I can't see anything. Like, what? Why is it so dark? Like, dude, you still got your shades on. He's like, oh, yeah. Okay, that's much better.
What's the bad 80s song that I wear my sunglasses at night?
Corey Hart.
So I can. What's the next
line?
It's
a legend. It's like that in Stairway to Heaven.
What's the next line, though? Nobody. It's like, so I can.
I don't know. Yeah, the rest of it didn't matter.
Dude, you're the resident music expert.
I know. It's...
We would be looking for
603-283-6160. If you know the line after I wear my sunglasses at night, so I can.
I wonder if anybody can people are just going to look it up and call in and tell us what it's
about. Yeah, if only there was a magic rectangle in our pockets in which we could look this up with all of the world's earthly information contained within
it. Right now, because I can't live.
If only the captain could read through his sunglasses.
That's the I don't have prescription sunglasses, so I can't really read.
All right. I will read something while you guys are looking that up.
I am illiterate while being the Hollywood version of myself.
Freedom's Phoenix. Great source of show prep for me. I'm sure you guys use it too. Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. Do you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events?
Yes, I do.
From those who value liberty. No, yes, I do to that one.
Yes, I do.
Freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, FreedomsPhoenix.com.
Okay, so you know that I can't read. I know you just looked it up. I want to say...
Hang on.
I want to say, before you reveal the answer, I want to say that the words breathe and storyline are involved.
How did you know that?
I'm a kid of the 80s, man. Like,
so am I, but you looked this up at some point. Nobody knows that.
No. I lived, like, that song I first heard on MTV when they played actual music videos.
Right.
So, and of course, they repeated things because they were basically a radio station on television. And so, like, I heard that song. But I can't remember, like, how they put the words together.
Not well.
To form the sentences.
Yeah, I'm looking at these lyrics, and I'm thinking they're not very good lyrics. I don't think this is a good song. I never did think it was a good song.
Okay.
It was horrible.
Well, read it anyway.
A drum roll, please. Yeah.
I wear my sunglasses at night, so I can. Watch you weave, then breathe your storylines.
Weave, then breathe.
Yep. And I wear my sunglasses at night, so I can. Keep track of the visions in my eyes.
Sounds kind of creepy and stalkerish.
Like, he's got the sunglasses on backwards.
Yeah, or something.
Sounds like he's going incognito in the bushes and keeping an eye on someone or something. Okay.
Yeah, this is a bad song.
I think much like...
Don't look. If you're listening at home and you're thinking about these lyrics, don't look this up.
I think much like every musician who ever got like a Hollywood-type contract or whatever and wore sunglasses, they were probably really high.
Possibly.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
So was there more to the ATF guidelines?
No, just watch for more coming this week, and you know, who knows when or how long that they're going to drag this out. They are government, so it could get dragged out forever. But we just got this first little vision of it today.
This was like breaking news today.
Yeah,
like the, you know, the news, the articles were just coming out, and there wasn't much to it because it was proposed guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, proposed.
Right? So it's not official yet. Hasn't been voted on. Hasn't been, you know, declared by the ATF. Mm-hmm. Just like, hey, guys, here's what we're thinking about doing. What do you think? Psych, we're closing the comments section. Just expect
pretty much.
It. Yeah. Okay.
If it was truly the bikini, or I mean, I'm sorry, the Hollywood version of Free Talk Live, we'd have bikini babes in here and mountains of cocaine and asserted other 80s things that were really popular in the 80s, like really big hair. Everybody'd be totally over-decorated. All of us would have 17 piercings in one ear.
I want a piercing. I want dangling axe earrings.
I'd have like Mr. T style gold chains, like
absolutely.
30 pounds of it.
God,
one
yes.
of you guys would have like 30 bracelets on one arm only, not the other arm, just one arm. You know, all these bad 80s things. One of us would probably have a bandana tied around our
definitely.
Knee or our leg or ankle or something.
I'd have holes in the knees of my Levi's 501s, and I would probably be wearing a little bit of mascara just to be the cool guy.
So you mentioned dangling axe earrings, and I like that because one of my goals that has yet been unfulfilled because I can't find anything that fits the description, I've always wanted like flamboyantly masculine earrings. And
you need a dangling axe.
That sounds like it would fit that definition.
Mm-hmm.
But as of yet, I haven't found anything, seen anything that like, yep, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
Maybe,
flamboyantly masculine.
Maybe on the magic rectangle, look up, I'm trying to remember what they're called. They're the combination earring and ear cuff.
Right? Okay.
This is something out of the 80s where like, part of it would be actually through the pierced part of your
and the
other
like
ear.
Clips to the
other
top.
Would have like a chain that would like clip to the top.
Yeah.
But each thing would have a different thing hanging off. You could get one with a skull and one with a dagger or whatever, you know, that
okay.
kind of stuff. So
I bet if you
it
found
exists.
Corey Hart at his job at you know, Dunkin' Donuts somewhere in LA, he'd probably sell you his dangling axe.
All right.
Dangling axe earrings from his actual music video for I Wear My Sunglasses at Night.
Fair enough. I will keep. I'm still on the lookout, but Dangling Axe seems like it would fit that.
There needs to be a band called Dangling Axe.
Okay.
And then they need to cover Corey Hart's I Wear My Sunglasses.
Definitely. I think I see Captain Kickass's future Bandcamp project in the works.
Oh,
the parody project is going to sound really funny after that. Let's move on to some possibly good news. 26% of Americans now identify as libertarians.
Wait.
Oh, wait. No. That is not the headline.
Wait.
You say that's a lie?
News? Like, it's been so long. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this potential information.
That is not the headline. 7 in 10 Americans agree that 2020 made them a better person. Here's how. According to the new survey, 74% of Americans said that 2020 has made them more aware of the needs of others. That's where I got the, you know, the inverse of that, the 26, because libertarians have a stigma of not being aware of the needs of others because they're selfish
and capitalist. And
I mean, the stereotype is that, but
bad
I don't
people.
Find that to be the reality.
Well, you're probably right, but I thought it was funny, and so I went with it.
Oh, okay.
And
sorry,
more.
I'll try to be more humor oriented in the future.
Is this? Do we not do the humor on the Hollywood portion of the show? Is that
we do? I just somehow forgot. Sorry.
Right.
I think I spaced, man.
Spaceman.
That's like the California, the Hollywood thing. I don't know what happened. I just spaced, man.
Is that an Elon Musk callback? Because he's a spaceman?
No, he's a muskrat.
All right. More of this article coming up. 74% of Americans said 2020 has made them more aware of the needs of others and more selfless than ever before. Did you experience that in 2020?
If you follow Elon Musk, you are a musketeer.
603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. More coming up with Free Talk Live.
Yeah! Come on!
And we're back with Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160, the live Thursday night edition. You can get your thoughts on the air by calling that number, 603-283-6160.
Just because I can't see very well with the sunglasses on as Hollywood Kick-Ass, and because the monitor which shows the cameras is very far away across the room, it occurred to me that I may look something like Tom Likas back in the day, because he used to wear the shades and be like, yes, it's the Tom Likas show. You've got to dump that bitch. You got a DTB. That's right. 1-800-5800-TOM. Blow me up, Tom. Sorry.
Who is that?
Tom Likas?
Yeah.
Legendary radio broadcaster.
Oh.
Yeah. Still got, I think he's still doing, he's doing the online only thing so he can be uncensored, mm-hmm. but. Yeah.
Oh, the Howard Stern route.
Yeah, he was.
We're moving to satellite where we can say what we want without violating the FCC rules.
He was very much a. I think young men looked up to him as the father figure they never had, in that he would teach men how to like date and get laid and get out, right? With spending the minimum amount of money, right? He would give tips and tricks on how to do this. The type of thing, like one of his famous tips is to when you're at the ATM and you know there's always a trash can right next to the cash machine, he's like, when you go to throw your receipt away, just go ahead and real quick look through some of the other receipts, find the largest balance that you can, and then when you're out at the clubs when you're out at the clubs or bars or whatever, you're trying to hit on somebody, you write your phone number down on the back of the largest nice. Balance ATM receipt you can find. And so even if they're like turning you down, they're like, no, 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 you're not my type, whatever. You hand it and you're like, look, just think about it and call me, right? And then when the ladies will open up this, because some ladies, much as you want to, you know, a lot of ladies will disagree, but some ladies are certainly motivated by money. And when they open that up and they see that bank balance, they're going to call.
We call them gold diggers, and yes. Kanye did a song about it.
So at any rate, you know, that was largely his shtick.
That is diabolically brilliant.
Was doing this kind of stuff.
I love it.
He also invented something that I will always love because I was a beneficiary of this particular thing. He called it Flash Fridays. And every Friday on his radio program, because it was broadcast during the drive home, right, the 5 to 6 p.m. or whatever it was, the rush hour, if you will, he had this thing that where if you drive around with your headlights on in your car, that means that you are requesting to be flashed. And then, like, any ladies who were listening to Tom Likas and were of the Tom Likas sort of following, and they saw you on the freeway in traffic or whatever with your headlights on, they would just, you know, poke out the window and lift their shirt and give you a flash for Flash Fridays.
Times were so much better back in the day.
I would say so.
Yeah, it's a good time.
You know, as far as, you know, picking up chicks, though, and, like, advising people on that, I think he's trying too hard. That's too much work.
Well, he's, you know, again, it's his shtick, not mine, right? But, like, I did listen to his show because, well, it was on the rock station locally in the Seattle, Washington area for quite some time. So, you know, I would turn my headlights on Flash Friday every day.
So, every Friday. Did it do anything?
It totally did, yeah. I got flashed, like, three times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
They talked about this a little bit on She Talk Live last night. So again, I don't want to rehash their discussion, but they were talking about, you know, like relationship advice. They had, you know, there was an incel that called in to hash out his problems, and one of the techniques, I guess, that could be used for those type of people is, like, you know, the pickup artist techniques and manual. And I don't really care what your feelings are on those techniques or the Tom Likas maneuver, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think the benefit of going through those programs is that it artificially boosts your own self-esteem to a level that then naturally catches up to it and then gives you the confidence to do those things and, you know, to accomplish your goals of entering into relationships.
I mean, that is true. Like, dudes with low self-esteem never attract what they're looking for in sexual partners.
Right. At all.
It's not until you find some self-esteem, or even you temporarily gain some, right, that maybe goes away later. That is when you find that you draw those things in.
Or you hit rock bottom with your low self-esteem, and you just throw caution to the wind, and you walk up and you use the world's most productive pickup line of all time, I will attest.
Now you got to share it.
Baby, I'll take you to Taco Bell, buy you anything you want.
Nice.
That's the world's most effective pickup?
Absolutely. It's like a slap in the face, but it's also funny. Huh. Like a square in the eye. I've never used that myself. Square in the eye, baby. I will take you to Taco Bell and buy you anything you want.
It's been a while since I needed it, but my old dating profiles, like, you know, your ideal date, was like dinner and dancing at Taco Bell.
Maybe it's just Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's what there's some relation there.
Wait. Here in Keene, we have a combo of Taco Bell, KFC. Like, I don't know how that plays into this whole thing, but it seems like there's some sort of weirdness there.
In a lot of places, there's the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
That's right, have the Pizza Bell or Taco Hut.
Yeah.
In New York, we have combination A&W root beers with Long John Silver's.
I had that in Hawaii.
They had a KFC A&W in Seattle, and I thought that was interesting.
Nice. I don't know how I'm going to segue into this phone call, because he wants to talk about sweet potatoes.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's do it.
Burning in New Orleans. Sweet potatoes. Well,
That's the beauty of Free Talk Live. I get to pick whatever I want to talk about.
Right? You do it. You go for it, man.
I was like, fast food, French fries, potatoes,
sweet potatoes.
Like,
sweet potato burritos at Taco Bell.
There you go.
So a few shows ago, a few days ago, there was a replay of a conversation that Aria and someone else was having about survival and everything. And there was an interesting conversation about the different zones as to what you can grow. So I used to live in Tennessee, and it's very cold here. And I was under the impression that, you know, we share the same zone as New Hampshire. And it was interesting to me to hear somebody, I forgot who it was, I apologize, but they were talking about
when you say zone,
sweet potatoes better in,
are you like,
sorry,
time zone?
No,
or like
growing,
on the meridian?
Okay. Growing zones, right?
Yeah. Is that gentleman on this on tonight that was talking about that?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, none of that rings a bell to me.
But I can tell you, having lived temporarily in Chattanooga, Tennessee for like a year, and now having lived in New Hampshire for going on my second year, if not well into my second year, that you say it's cold in Tennessee. I say, if you want to know the difference between cold in Tennessee and the cold in New Hampshire, come visit us in like late December, early January.
It's also a lot colder in the Midwest, though, than it is up here.
It is. That's true.
It's a little bizarre.
Yeah, that is. Well, I'll call back into the night when he's on the show. I'm sorry. I thought he was on tonight. Thank you all.
I don't remember who that was, so I can't really tell you if that was one of us or not. Sorry.
Well, as a prepper, he seems to know how to grow a lot of food at home. And you're talking about Conan.
He'll probably be on Monday or maybe Tuesday night.
Schedule permitting.
Okay. Yeah, schedule permitting.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right. Have a good night. And we go to Andrew in Tennessee, who may have some insight on this.
Were these both Tennessee callers?
No. Vernon was in New Orleans talking about growing sweet potatoes in Tennessee.
All right.
And now we have Andrew in Tennessee. Totally different topic, but maybe he knows something about sweet potatoes. Andrew, go ahead.
It absolutely does get cold in Tennessee.
It does.
And as I was listening, I should have been writing down some of my arguments, but if you're when it comes to picking up women, you got to strike while the iron's hot. No matter what you look like or what you feel like, if you're feeling good about yourself, just get out there and do it, you know.
Well, and that was part of the call last night, and part of why I said you have to like build your self-confidence first, is because the problem that those people have, and the people who get a lot of value out of the pickup artist techniques, is they don't feel good. They don't naturally have that positive, outgoing disposition that gives them self-esteem necessary to approach, talk to, pick up, or enter in relationship with women. And so that has to be done first. And again, like I said, say what you want. I'm not here to like plug the pickup artist techniques, but if it helps a dude get the confidence that he should already have, I'm not going to knock it either.
I would say, figure out a skill that you're good at and feel good about that, and then
boast
that will give you the confidence to go out and talk to women.
Yeah, the other thing is, if you can do something in front of a woman that you are good at or skilled at and do it well, that will make an impression as well.
I know you're on film. Can you hang me over to the next break?
Absolutely, because I know you wanted to talk about something else. So stand by, yeah. Andrew. Coming up, phone lines are still open, 603-283-6160. Your thoughts on any of the topics that we've covered so far. Free Talk Live.
Breaking weather news. Belize is sunny and around 82 degrees every day this week.
What's the forecast for your life? If current politics and economic prospects are cramping your freedom, escape to the tropics. ECI Development has affordable second homes for you to own or rent in Belize and other tropical countries. Places with stable governments and growing economies. Secure your freedom now. To find out more, send an email to ftl@ecidevelopment.com.
Free Talk Live.
And we're back.
Uh-oh.
What are you uh-ohing about?
We've lost Hollywood Richie Rich.
Oh, you lost me. I only did it for one
second. You must have moved to, like, the Bay Area or something. Yeah. You've left Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skid Row Rich?
Well, I mean, if you're living in the Bay Area, it's likely. Yeah.
Pooping on the sidewalk, Rich.
I hear that's big on the West Coast.
Yeah. Call in number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You got more thoughts on this, Cap?
I'm sorry. I just didn't mean to throw you off your pattern, your spiel. You know, you're used to doing a thing and then saying a thing before we start bantering and tangenting.
That's okay. We can go off the cuff.
Yeah, I've been guilty of doing that as well, to a point where, like, we get 5, 6, 7 minutes into a segment, and I'm like, oh, by the way, in the studio tonight.
Yeah. It is Richie Rich, Matty Matt, and Captain E. Captain.
Hollywood Captain.
Hollywood Captain.
Hollywood Kick-Ass is here.
And you guys are probably making an appearance at ForkFest 2021?
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Mine is still up in the air. I don't know if it's going to work out, but we'll see. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 28th through July 4th at ForkFest 5 at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest happens the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 28th through July 4th, and there's no better place to celebrate Independence Day than around other freedom-loving activists in the Shire. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees there with the unofficial Telegram and the unofficial forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there. And maybe some good news, like the latest breaking. Maybe Ian Freeman will be there. Still fingers crossed.
I hate to...
One more hearing.
I'm gonna
just
have
one more hearing, yeah, and they'll let him go.
I'm gonna maintain my position of low expectations but high hopes.
Right on. That's a good policy.
I can't really go any other way. There's still bureaucrats talking about things. Apparently, it's going to require yet another hearing. I don't know if this is supposed to be public yet or not, but well, there it is.
It is now.
There it is. I just blabbed it on the radio. Apparently, the bureaucrats need to get together one more time to figure out how to write a bail order that makes a peaceful, nonviolent man who has not hurt anybody or damaged any property
ever,
like, you know, give bail. Like, cops who molest little girls get bail, right? Murderers, mass shooters, they get bail. This guy who did some cryptocurrency transactions and owned some Bitcoin vending machines can't get bail.
You're also presuming that that's what this next hearing is about, right? It's a safe assumption, but it's just scheduled at this point to hear more.
Well, I don't know that this is a hearing that's available to the public or a hearing just between the judge and the and the council.
Either way, what more needs to be said? Both sides have made their case a number of times. Someone just has to, like,
I think it's grow a pair and make a decision. I think it's that the judge doesn't want to, like, you know, pick and choose from the buffet of options that he's been given, and so he's going to make the council do the work. Because that's what I would do if I were in his position. I wouldn't want to do the work myself. I'd make council do the work. It's their freaking job.
Yeah, I don't think that judge was all that impressed with the prosecution.
Well, then give the man bail. Yeah, penalize the prosecution for being unprepared and, you know, whatever. However you want to describe their performance there. Shall we go back to the phone?
Sure.
We held over Andrew. Andrew, you are back on the air with Free Talk Live.
Man, thanks for holding on for me.
No problem. We want to make sure that you get your actual thoughts out. You jumped into a different conversation, so you had your own thoughts. You're up.
Oh, no. I can jump into people's thoughts as well, but... No, I'm a lifetime freedom lover, love liberty, never sway from that. But some of the things I've been thinking about lately is to in order to maybe regain some type of like personal freedom, people have to start to consider balance in life, and I feel like that's where we're losing out on a lot of like personal interactions with people.
Are you talking about like leisure balance? Like what balance are you talking about?
The balance between, you know, if you're in a certain age group, you've lived in a time period where you've seen, you know, old ways of doing things. And then you've seen the, you know, projection into new ways of doing things. And so, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in day-to-day life and kind of lose sight of what's real and what's not real. And, as a freedom loving person, one thing that I feel deeply about with freedom is self-growth. And okay. Self-realization. And if you don't incorporate freedom with self-growth, it creates different problems. So what I mean by balance is self-balance, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on the self-growth part, and I don't mean just like obtaining like a foot fungus or something like that. What I mean is when you decide consciously that you are about freedom for yourself, at least, if not for others, that the more you think about that, the more it expands in your mind and you have to adjust to your newfound way of thinking. And I think that being about freedom sort of forces you into, at least for a period of time, some self-growth that you didn't have, you know, say before you were all about freedom. And I say that after having looked up one of my favorite words. It's eleutheromaniac, right? Which is the root word is eleutheromania. And eleutheromania just means a great desire for or obsession with freedom. And so right. That describes me. I am definitely...
So it's a psychological disorder, is what you're saying.
It's the desire for freedom plus mania, right? So I am a fan, right? A fanatic, if you will, of freedom, right? In the same way some people are fans of a baseball team or a softball team or a particular musical artist, right? They have mania for that type of a thing. Well, I just happen to have mania for freedom. I'm also a nerd, so I've got nerdism for freedom as well. So,
go ahead. Within that way of thought, I agree with that, but you also have to find a balance with your enthusiasm for freedom, because you can't let that one sector control every other being of your person, you know, because there's so many levels of people, so you can't just get obsessed with one level of it. At some point, you have to realize that you understand that level and let things be things while they are, but while other things are working at the same time. If that makes any sense.
Let me take a shot at this.
I'm having a hard time putting my words into.
That's fine. You know. Let me take a shot at this because a lot of us here have moved as part of the Free State Project or the Liberty Migration or whatever for more freedom. I doubt that the vast majority of the people who've made that migration have freedom as their number one value, right? Because something else always comes up that at that time is more important than absolute freedom, whatever it happens to be. For a lot of people, it's family or, you know, whatever, or the kids, and even the people that haven't moved. Like, why haven't you moved here for more freedom? I was like, well, my wife, you know, I like the beach, you know, because I moved from Hawaii. And so they're exercising some of that balance because they have a different value structure and freedom is just not at the top. And if you put freedom at the top, you have to let a lot of that stuff go because freedom is such an important one to have. More coming up with Free Talk Live. And we're back with Free Talk Live, me doing my shtick uninterrupted this time while Captain E. Captain drums away on the air drums.
I'm horrible at air drums, by the way.
Do they have air drum world championships like they do the air guitar?
I don't know, but I can tell you that I worked for an employer for a short period of time where they had some sort of air guitar or air band competition.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, oh, you'd be perfect because you play actual guitar.
And
I'm like, it's different, man. Yeah. It's totally different. And then they had the competition, and that guy's act actually won. And so I was happy that I didn't, you know, he didn't say, well, I'd have won if you'd have been in it, right? You know, because I didn't want to hear that. But like that guy's act actually won. And then, like, during the after party of that, there was just some music going on and we had some beers or whatever. And I started air guitar, and he's like, damn it, I knew you could do it.
At one point in time, beyond the air guitar, right, the video game Rock Band came out.
Yeah.
And then people were actually doing gigs playing Rock Band or like
Guitar Hero. That was a thing.
That was a thing.
Not a fan.
All right. Well, if you were ever in a Rock Band band, call us and tell us about it. 603-283-6160. Upset the captain.
If you ever got on stage and played Rock Band with a couple other people, let us know.
For money. Because they were getting paid for these gigs, man.
Bastards!
603-283.
Totally not real musicians. Real musicians go out, they do gigs, and then they get ripped off and don't get paid. That's how you're a real musician, damn it.
No, you're on stage playing a video game for money. That sounds like...
That's like...
Sounds like they one-upped the real musicians on how to actually make
like
a living.
It's like these guys who are like, you know, one-man composers or whatever, and they're like, yeah, my musical outfit has a gig, come listen to me in my laptop next Tuesday at Dave's Bar and Grill.
You know, things are changing in that direction. Speaking in terms of video games, I'm going to confess, I'm totally addicted to watching Call of Duty Warzone on YouTube and Twitch.
Okay.
Like, I've got people that I follow. I love watching them play. It's way more fun than watching, like, I love baseball. Sorry. Call of Duty Warzone's way more fun to watch, and these guys are
baseball's boring to watch. Fun to play.
Right. Football's the same way. That all the modern sport, all the sports that we're used to, are getting replaced by people watching gamers play on
like
esports.
Yeah,
Twitch, yeah.
Esports is a big deal.
I'm on the fence on this, so help me out here. Watching Call of Duty more fun than playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, because they're way better than I am.
Okay.
It's frustrating.
Oh, so it's a question of skill level.
Oh, yeah, they're pros. Right. They're
so you can't watch like a novice try and play Call of Duty and have fun?
I could just replay my own games if that's the way. watch myself suck at it.
At one point in time, I poo-pooed on this. Right? I went, like, why would you ever spend the time watching other people play the games when you could just play the game? Right? But then I remembered like back in the day. Right, like I'm not as ancient as you. I never had a pager, Captain.
I'm a relic. It's true.
But I remember, like, you know, we had like a Super Nintendo or like a regular, and there was three of us, and only two controllers. So one of us sat there and watched and would eventually rotate in.
Right.
Right. So part of the entertainment was like watching my friends play while I waited. To the point where we eventually got the Nintendo 64. I remember this Zelda the Ocarina of Time, probably my favorite game of all time, still standing. We would alternate, right? Like I would get home from school early, I would play, and then my friend would come home from school, and then I would like walk him through what I had done. So he would do that quickly and then do more stuff, right? And then he would figure it out, and then I would come up behind him like the next day or whatever, play up to where he was, and then pick up, you know, and again, so it was always like playing and then watching, but much like you do on YouTube, I was watching him and learning his techniques the same way people watch like tutorials now.
Mm-hmm.
So I go like, well, I've also done it. This is just the modern way to do that, right? A few years ago, I got my son an Xbox. He was coming to visit for the summer. And, you know, he's like, well, what are we doing, you know, when I get home from work? I'm a little worn out, a little tired, and he wants to play video games. So I just lump my ass on the couch and watch him play video games for a couple hours. And I go, all right, I can see the appeal, but I also really like to play. Like, I would much rather grab a controller and partake than I think I would watch it on YouTube. Like,
yeah, I love to play baseball.
Yeah.
I love being on the field. I was left, you know, outfielder, generally just left field. Or catch. And
when I played baseball, I also played the left, but it was left out.
Left out. Yeah, left out. I'm sorry. I started sometimes, and sometimes I came in to, you know, pick up after somebody else. But watching baseball is also fun.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Call of Duty Warzone too.
Right.
So, and I like to play it poorly. And then I like to watch other people who are really rock and roll.
The only thing less fun than watching baseball is watching golf.
I like to watch golf.
Oh, my God. It's so boring.
And I love to play golf.
Walking. It's the most frustrating. We're at the hole now.
Golf is the most frustrating walk you'll ever take.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that's.
It depends on how many adult recreational substances you have with you on the course.
I mean, okay. I think it was Doug Stanhope that said, I feel sorry for people who don't drink or take drugs or whatever recreationally because, you know, they actually, to have fun, they have to have actual fun. Like, if you take drugs or alcohol, you could be doing any sort of mundane activity and take some drugs or alcohol. All of a sudden, it's fun.
Speaking of fun recreational activities that you can't do with alcohol, guns on the line. Guns.
From guns.
Guns. You know this guy?
Is he Tracy Guns from Guns N' Roses?
Talking about guns. All right. He's nice callback. Guns, you're on with Free Talk Live.
Guns, guns, guns.
Oh, what's this guy?
I play eardrums, man. Eardrums.
Very clever. Did you have anything else?
Oh, speaking. Yeah, clever. You want clever? Richie Rich, Matty Matt, and Capty Cap. How about Obi Gun Kenobi?
We already got Obi. What do we have?
Obi Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, Obi Wan Kenobi from earlier. If you were listening,
Did he say Obi Gun Kenobi?
Or is it Obi Gun Kenobi?
Gun around. Yeah. That's clever.
I got a question.
What else?
I got a question for Obi Gun. I got a question for Obi Gun Kenobi.
Shoot him.
Tell me, Obi Gun. You're our only hope.
Yes. I listen to the different gun shows and people calling in on technique, and I never hear anybody discuss this, and that's I grew up with a gun in my hand on the farm, you know, from BB gun, 22 shotguns, whatever. And I started shooting in archery language you would call instinctive. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, like point shooting.
Point shooting. And so inside of 50 yards, you know, well, nominally speaking, it depends on, you know, what you're shooting, what you're shooting at, and whether it's moving or it's stationary. But inside of 50 yards, basically, I don't consciously use sight. But I never hear that discussed in any of the professional shooting shows. Do you deal with that when you do gun training as far as people shooting instinctive without reference to the sights at all until they're outside of a parameter where they can no longer do it without sight?
I think that comes up a lot in
you're close out of time, man.
I think that comes up mostly in close quarter self-defense shooting, but we can talk more about this on the other side with Obi-Wan Kenobi. More coming up with Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160, Free Talk Live.
Carl Wattner, longtime proponent of a voluntary society, died last December. You may have seen his articles published on his website, voluntarist.com, in his newsletter, The Voluntarist, the Mises Institute, or elsewhere over the last 40 years. His newest book, I Must Speak Out, Volume 2, The Best of the Voluntarist, is now available via Liberty Under Attack Publications. This 430-page second volume spans the years of 2000 through 2020 and includes articles by Carl Wattner, Hans Hermann Hoppe, Carl Hess, Benjamin Tucker, George H. Smith, Lysander Spooner, Pete Eyre, Joyce Brand, and many others. I Must Speak Out is for the newly initiated, the veteran voluntarist, or anywhere in between. Buy the book now at libertyunderattack.com/voluntarist. For more great content on building a voluntary society and for Carl's extensive archives, check out voluntarist.com.
And we are back and still live with Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Phones are still open if you want to get your thoughts on the air about the guns, guns, guns. But first, we need to thank our amplifier for the evening, Silver Amplifier. Liberty is life. If you'd like to donate to the show, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com. There's a few different tiers there, and that AMP stands for to help us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live. Again, silver amplifiers, $5 a month, I believe. So
yes.
Nominal donation there to help the show. Again, we thank Liberty is Life. Now, you're holding up a picture for me, Captain, that our listeners can't see. You're talking about...
Oh, that was Linda Carter in her prime, in non-Wonder Woman garb with her hair down and just wearing, like, you know, regular thing. Somebody recently posted something of that, and I was reminded of how much, as a kid, even before I was really into girls, I was totally into Linda Carter, Wonder Woman. You know, we were talking during the break about sort of women of our dreams kind of a thing.
Sure.
Linda Carter in her prime. Bam.
Now, before the break, Dave in New Mexico, guns, 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 threw out a question.
Oh, he's still on hold. That's right.
No, I dropped it.
Oh, you dropped him?
Yeah. Nice.
Good man. With authority. With extreme prejudice.
That? Because I was trying to close out the segment, and he was talking over me, and I hit that drop button faster than
You're really coming into your own in the first chair, man. I mean, that is veteran technique is what that is. I'm proud of you, man. Little Richie's growing up, man.
But he's talking about point shooting.
Point shooting. Right. And he was saying up to like 50 yards and that he was fairly good at it, but they don't cover it much, I guess, in the rest of gun culture. I suggested that technique is more useful in close quarter self-defense situations, but I also wanted to give you a chance to get your thoughts.
Okay, so I actually adopted point shooting too early. I'm kind of new to pistols because I lived in New York my whole life. Pistols are hard to get. Pistol permits are hard to get.
Okay.
So when I moved to New Hampshire, the floodgates opened on pistols for me, so I started learning. I started point shooting immediately. I should have learned to use my sights, I think. So I'm kind of deprogramming and reprogramming myself right now. Yesterday. I practiced, and I was using the sights. And going slow, slow is smooth, smooth is fast kind of philosophy.
Right.
That said, with like a carbine, like an AR-15 or an AK or something, I want to use the sights. I want to make sure I have a good sight that gives me a good field of view. And to an extent, if I shoot enough, if I shoulder the rifle enough, I can probably get to the point where I can kind of do both at the same time.
Okay.
You know, shoulder and just get on target and rip it.
Okay.
So that said, I also, when I'm shooting long distance through something with a big bell on the scope, like a bolt action rifle of some kind, I like to shoot prone with both eyes open, because having both eyes open helps me get the reticle, helps me get the crosshair on or near the target because it's so far away. So I would think that's even, I'm not going to pull the trigger until I'm on target.
Right.
But it helps me get on target faster. So I'd say that would be a cousin to point shooting. I don't know if there's a name for that or not, but that's what I do.
Cap, interesting.
Any thoughts? Have you point shooted? Are you?
That's pretty much all I do.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't really been trained very well in the arts of pistoling or handgunning, if those are even words. The most experience I have is firing shotguns, specifically the 12-gauge or the 310.
Okay.
The 310?
410.
410, thank you. Sorry. See, that's how little I know about guns. I can't even say the right words. So, you know, for me, guns have always been about just home defense, right? I would keep one in the house in case there was an intruder, that kind of a thing. And it was always about, well, what's going to do the most damage? What do I need the fewest shots of? And I figure if you've got like a 12 gauge in your house, you're only going to need one shot. If you need more than one shot of your 12 gauge, you're either a poor shot or you weren't going to get out of that situation anyway.
Okay. I hear you. And I would say don't plan for that because people are more resilient than you think. And a dude who gets hit with a 12 gauge still may be coming after you.
That's not to say that I didn't have a lot of ammo.
Understood, but you best mentally be prepared to fire that second shot.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about, you know, pistol shooting, as you said, Matt, as I mentioned earlier, I will be assisting a basic pistol course as a NRA instructor this Saturday. So some of those fundamentals, right, is like aiming, which is getting your sights aligned and getting that on target.
Well, one of the things we haven't talked about is like whenever you're, you know, sort of on your own as the instructor, I'd like to come and take one of your classes.
I appreciate that. And I could do that anytime I want to schedule one. I don't have all the equipment necessary to do that, but I appreciate you wanting to be a part of that.
Okay.
But the part of the fundamentals, again, is, like I said, aiming. And then that second shot, right, is the follow through. Like if you take the shot, especially in a self-defense situation, you're like, bang. And you're just like, did I get him? Like you were not prepared to take that second shot, and he will be that much closer if you A, missed or did not put him down. And you are unlikely to put him down with the first shot, depending on, you know, where you hit and how big, because the adrenaline kicks in and it's not recommended that you take one shot and look, even with a shotgun. So just be prepared for that. As far as point shooting is concerned, like I said, that comes up more in the self-defense situations, because in the self-defense situations, you may not have the time or the ability to get your hands into position, your target, your sights aligned, you know, and on target, and you just have to point like you would with your finger and then pull the trigger and then hope that you were on target.
The first time I fired a 44, I was in the mountains of New Mexico, and there was a guy who was camping next to where we were camping, and he came over with his wife to, like, I don't know, borrow some sugar or something. They needed something to help make their cooking go. Struck up a conversation, and we all ended up having dinner together, sort of combining our campsites together, if you will. And he was like, I've got a 44. It's a classic. Do you want to see it? I'm like, yeah. And so he opens up this case, and there it is. He's like, you ever fired one of these? I'm like, nope. He's like, well, let's walk on down to the river, and let's get you firing one of these. I'm like, okay. Nice. I had no idea what I was getting into, man. Thing about ripped my arm off, right, the first shot. But that's what he taught me. He taught me was like, look, all you got to do is when you put your hands, you know, on, you know, and you get ready to, you know, put your finger on the trigger, just point at what you're aiming at. We were aiming at like a bottle that we set on the other side of the creek. It was more of a creek than a river, creek, whatever you want to call it. And he's like, all you got to do really is point at it. And that'll give you kind of an idea of where you're going to shoot. You'll get close. And that, and like, as soon as he told me that, boom, I hit the bottle. And I'm like, oh, awesome. So.
Right. So it, again, it works at shorter distances because, you know, if you're off a little, right, by the time that bullet gets to the point of impact, that being off is going to be magnified depending on how far out you're shooting. So if you're 7 feet away, right, you might be off by an inch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to do the math in my head, but if you're 50 feet away, that inch turns into a foot
or whatever,
and a foot's going to be a miss at that point.
Right.
So should you practice point shooting? Absolutely, because the likely scenario is you're obtaining a firearm for some sort of defensive situation. I know there's other things, you know, competitions and bullseye shooting and all that. But the vast majority of people buying guns now in this environment are doing it for defensive purposes.
Yeah. So is close quarters the most common like self-defense environment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I think most self-defense engagements take place between 7 and 10 feet or something. Okay. Like that. Seven feet and 10 yards or something.
Not only that, the further you get out, right? And even if you're point shooting or not, the harder it is to justify self-defense.
Yeah, right.
Right. Because if he's 100 yards away and you're like, you're point shooting, that dude better have a rifle. Right. You know, aimed at you.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, if he's got like just a knife or, you know, whatever,
yeah, you're in trouble.
Oh, you're in trouble.
You're going to court and you're going to jail.
What if he's controlling the drone that's like 10 feet away from you?
Aim for the drone. You know, what's on the drone? Is the drone attacking you?
Well, no, it's got like a semi-automatic thing and it's just firing round after round at you.
Yeah. I would say that. Yeah. Shoot the drone.
That's where your shotgun comes in. Yeah. That's a clay pigeon. Yeah.
Your thoughts. Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. More coming up. Back for the final time this evening. We have made it to the last segment. Is that the Wonder Woman theme song? Are you done, guys?
That's a really bad 80s song.
Final Countdown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's called the Final Countdown.
No, I got it.
It's the final countdown.
Because it's the final segment. It's the final segment.
Which means I'm not going to give up the number. We are sitting in the studio tonight. It's I, Richie Rich.
Matty Matt.
And the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass is here.
That's twice
in the same
evening. Broke the quota.
Well, the quota is one. It doesn't mean I can't say it more than one time.
Oh. I thought you were like
I'm
limiting
yourself my own
to
quota
one.
Rules here okay. now. So, yeah, that's whatever I feel like doing.
All right. Let's talk once again about the Crypto Six. March 16th, 2021, government agencies conspired together and raided the Free Talk Live studio, the Bitcoin Embassy, and the homes of Aria DeMezzo, Renee and Andy Spinella, and Colleen Fordham. The Crypto Six were then arrested and taken into custody, and Ian Freeman and nobody remain in custody. What can you do to help? Check out thecrypto6.com. There are multiple ways in which you can donate to their legal defense fund, because these charges aren't a joke. It's going to take a serious legal team and many experts to protect the Crypto Six from further aggression from the state. This case will likely set precedent that will affect the world of cryptocurrency for decades to come. Help them in their fight for liberty and financial freedom by contributing to their legal defense fund at thecrypto6.com. Once more, thecrypto6.com. Some time ago, we started off this article where I kind of like in jest made fun of libertarians and their selfish individualistic behaviors.
Surely you jest.
Of course I jest. But I just thought it was funny. But the headline, 7 in 10 Americans agree that 2020 made them a better person. Here's how. A poll of 2005 Americans revealed that since March of 2020, people are more often embracing the idea of neighborly love. Some examples include 87% of Americans have donated a portion of their paycheck, even though 3 in 5 experience financial difficulties. 41% have helped a stranger cross the street. 38% have gone out of their way to take out their neighbor's trash. And 31% have walked their neighbor's dog. And for those who live in snowy climates, 1/3 have shoveled out the neighbor's car in the past year.
Mm.
In general, 72% said they found themselves caring about the health and well-being of others significantly more in the past year. And this is where, again, I kind of made fun of libertarians because a lot of, you know, the libertarian-leaning, liberty-loving, freedom-loving people in my social circle, right, were like, I'm not wearing a mask. I don't care what you have to do about it. I'm coming here. We're going to throw a fight. And, like, not very neighborly or loving, given the general climate, and I don't necessarily disagree with them, but other people, right, 74% of Americans are doing things of value for their neighbors, and it got me thinking, like, what could the libertarians, the anarchists in my social circle, have done to mitigate their anti-mask position, right? Could we have done more of these things, these social outreaches for people, and then also had the anti-mask positions and policies and whatever?
You know, to piggyback this on the prior topic, if one of the things that brought me to New Hampshire in the first place was Dave Ridley. I saw a YouTube video of Dave Ridley and a bunch of other people doing open carry trash pickup.
Yes.
So they went into They went into a good neighborhood idea. That was kind of an elderly neighborhood, but it kind of fallen by the wayside over the years. It was kind of dirty. There was junk and litter, and they donned big old revolvers very blatantly on their hip and 1911s and, you know, guns that you could see, and holstered them and went just up and down the streets picking up trash. And yeah. People looked out the window saying, oh, my God, there's guys with a gun. And they're cleaning my yard.
Right.
And, you know,
so it was a good way.
It was a good move.
It was a good move because it positioned gun enthusiasts in a positive light in the community.
Right.
And I think as far as like social goodwill, the anti-mask crowd has lost a lot of ground in that respect by being so in your face with a lot of the protest if you want to call it activism.
I mean, the extreme makes an impression, or so it seems anyway, most of the time. When you get a majority of people performing a thing that is counter to your philosophy and then forcing it upon you, I believe sometimes it takes, you know, an extreme type of a protest, like an in your face kind of a thing, as long as you're peaceful about it, right? And I've seen more of that than I have of like positioning anti-mask people in a positive light, which you are correct. There was definitely a lack of that. There still is a lack of that. I'm not sure how to position that in a positive light.
Matty Matt gave the example already. The open carry litter pickup, you can do the no mask litter pickup, clean That's up your neighborhood. True. I mean, just piggyback on that.
What else, I wonder, like what other creative ideas are there? I'll have to stew on that for a while before I come up with my own.
The be normal litter pickup.
Whatever.
Yeah, normal face is what I like to call it. When I'm out and about and I see somebody else not wearing a mask, go, hey, normal face, and give them a big smile, and they usually smile like, yeah, normal face. You know, we have just a moment.
Right. Know. So when I go into stores, even now, right, I've worn a mask maybe less than a handful of times. Like I could probably count them on one hand or less.
I have yet to wear one.
Okay. Well, congratulations. There were certain places that, you know, required it. Sig Sauer made me wear the face shield.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Said medical exemption. They go, we have something for you. Here is a face shield.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, the clerk in there had his, like, you know, mask down his nose. So I pointed that out. I'm like, we're all going to follow the governor's orders. You might as well have your, you know, your coworker do it, too. But they required it. And we needed, you know, my wife was there looking at some handguns. And so, like, it was not my shopping trip. So I was not willing to, like, walk out at that time.
Right.
But I took the face shield. So that was one of them. But at the same time, when I there's like one of two ways that I go about it. If I assume that I'm going to catch flack for not wearing a mask, right, I will mean mug it as much as possible. And this is a lot easier with the long hair and the beard. But when I go into the stores, hat stays on, sunglasses stay on, scowl stays on my face. Right. The other way to do that, which I've also done like early on when there was still some like flexibility with, you know, hey, people are wearing masks, but, you know, it's not required. All that comes off. Right. Big old smile on my face. Hey, how you doing? You know, whatever. And that way, you know, the clerk on the other side of the plexiglass behind her mask, his or her mask, right, sees a smiling face probably for the first time that day. Right. Because I may have been the only non-masked person they encountered. And it gives them that sense of normalcy, right? It projects that positive image of the anti-masker, the non-masker, instead of flash mobbing the store and, you know, throwing a fit and having everybody go in there and go, we're not fucking wearing a mask in here.
At this point, though, over a year and 2 months, so what, 14, right? March, April, May, yeah.
Yeah.
14 months into this thing, like, if you don't realize by now that the whole mask thing was completely unnecessary and didn't need to happen as a force of government, then you know, I think something is wrong with you.
Well, it took Matty Bat only 2 months to realize that last year. So you guys are 12 months behind the curve.
It didn't take him a year.
That's what I'm saying. It took him 2 months, so like, 12 months behind the curve.
And I think, too, that there's a bit of, you know, I don't know, maybe the people who are still wearing masks are just freaking ugly, man. You know, I don't know.
And okay, and again, I would call back to She Talk Live a little bit, because one of those relationship calls about the mask on last night's show was, I feel more confident when I wear a mask because people don't see my face.
Yeah.
And there was
a
handful of stories.
Yeah.
Right. And there was a handful of stories like that where, like, you know, the social anxiety is gone because of the mask. Now, should it be mandated? Absolutely not. But if you want to continue to wear a mask because you receive some benefit from that.
Well, we agree on that, and we always have. It's the mandating of it. It's the
understood.
Putting the violence and force of government behind something that should be an individual choice.
Understood. There's the mandate.
That's what I see as the problem, just to be clear.
Okay, so let me see if I can find another problem for you then. There's the mandate, but there's also the social pressure, right, from people who are wearing their masks, looking down upon you, possibly even accosting you, right, for your non-mask wearing. And what do you say to that in the last few seconds here?
This is where the power of not giving a flying F comes into play. And, well, I've spent a lot of my life not giving an F about what other people thought of me, so I see no reason to change now.
All right. We're done for tonight. More online, freetalklive.com, and get the captain back on tomorrow night. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help. PorcupineRealEstate.com